Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for coming here. My name is Anwar Mohammed. I'm from RTI International, which is based in North Carolina. My topic for today is using an open source online learning management system for distance education or e-learning. A quick look at what I'm going to cover in the topics today. I'll first talk about what exactly is an LMS, what are the uses or benefits of using one, some of the options which are available in the market. And in the second half, I'll be talking about how we implemented an open source LMS to fulfill one of our project's requirements. So to start off, what exactly is an LMS? Of course, it's an abbreviation for a learning management system. You can see a standard definition up here. But in real essence, it's more of a software application or a web technology which is used to implement a specific learning process, you know, tailored to your requirements, to your needs. If you've ever taken any courses through a university or some other source, that's an example of an LMS. Or probably a better example is this very conference that we are attending. I was in North Carolina yesterday. I came in only late in the night. But I was sitting at home and watching some of the presentations that were going on yesterday live. You know, that's again a perfect example of a learning management system where you can view content online sitting remotely in some other location. So why do we use an LMS? What are the uses or benefits of using one? The main reason is if you have some kind of a training need, it gives you an option of creating courses and have them up and running very quickly. Most of the LMSs are web-based, so there's no special software to be installed. All you need is a standard web browser. Once you have it installed, you can have it up and running within a few minutes. That is provided your requirements are not special or you don't have any customizations to be made. But if you do need to make any kind of customizations, it's not really too difficult. You don't have to be a hardcore programmer to make these customizations or changes. But let me tell you that if you do want to include some kind of a logic or make some code changes, you will need some kind of a programming language experience. It comes in by default with security and authentication. User roles. The highest role, of course, is an admin who has complete access to the tool. But the most common used roles are the teacher or the course creator. This is the person who has the ability to create courses, make changes to existing courses, and make them available to the targeted audience. And these courses can be used by the student or the end user. They can have access to these courses, but they cannot make any changes to the courses, of course. Content management. The course creator or the admin can easily create courses. Again, as I said, not a lot of programming required here, as long as they're using the SCOM compliant tools. Module support supports a lot of plugins, just like the analytics which are shown in the previous presentation. You can have a simple plugin, look at the user base, how many users took courses, how much time did they spend on each course, and how much time did it take to complete a particular course. Theme support, each LMS comes with a specific set of themes. Themes are something like a web template. These are predefined web look and feel. They give a good look and feel to the website. Now, by selecting different themes, you can completely change the look and feel of the website. You don't really have to do any code changes. The changes are applied across all the pages in the website. And one of the big advantages is there are thousands of free themes which are available in the market. I mean, free, of course. You can just have them installed and you can select whichever you want, whichever suits your project. The site management, you can customize it based on what your personal requirements are. You can have a customized personal calendar. You can add personal notes. You can have a wiki or a blog or a forum. Or you can also have chatting sessions. These are limited to just to your user group. Say, for example, you're taking a course for a specific reason. So only that user base will have access to this forum or the chat sessions. International support supports a lot of multiple international languages. Platform maturity works on basically almost any operating system or database. Here are some commercial and open source learning management systems. The ones on the left-hand side are all commercial tools. Joomla and Blackboard are very popular. Most of the universities and schools use Blackboard. The ones listed on the right-hand side, these are the open source learning management systems. As Dominic just mentioned, open source is something which is available free of cost. All you have to do is just install it and you can start using it. No cost involved here. Now, among all these tools, I'm going to specifically talk about the last one, which is Moodle. This is the one which we used to implement one of our project requirements. So why Moodle? Again, as I said, one of the main reasons was it is open source. You don't have to spend anything, it's free of cost. It's web-based, no client software installed on your client machines. All you need is some standard web browser and you can be up and running. You can start using it straight out of the box and supports 85 languages. While we were doing our install, this is a simple example which I wanted to talk to you about, the languages. Our developer installed the Australian version of the English language. Not a lot of differences in Australian and US English, but there were some subtle differences, like the example, how do you spell enroll? You know, does it come with a single L or a double L? Now, instead of making these changes or edits on each and every page across the website, all we had to do was just uninstall the Australian package and install the US version. And the changes show up fine. Now this is, I was comparing two English languages which are pretty similar. But you could have a package which is in Spanish or Taiwanese or Malay. So it supports almost 85 languages. Section 5 compliance. RTI does a lot of projects for the federal government, and it's almost mandatory that the federal government websites are made 508 compliant. The 508 compliance is a federal requirement that all the federal government websites are also made accessible to users who have some kind of a disability. It could be bad or no eyesight, or they are deaf, or they are handicapped, or any other kind of disability. So by default, Moodle comes with 508 compliance. But if you're making any changes, you're doing some custom changes, making it compliant is our responsibility. It has a mature proven framework. The number of users could vary from a few to thousands. Doesn't really matter. You know, Moodle is going to support it. By default, it is implemented in PHP and MySQL, which is an open source database. But since our project was using a SQL Server, we could easily switch over from MySQL to our database. It also supports other databases like Oracle. It's also SCOM compliant. What is SCOM now? SCOM is a set of standards that were devised by the Department of Defense to have some kind of a standardization with the learning process or the e-learning systems or the learning management systems. So Moodle is SCOM compliant too. Here's a list or a screenshot of Moodle users worldwide, which is there are more than 50,000 registered users. And mind you, there are almost 10,000 users who prefer to have some kind of a privacy and they are not listed over here. So a lot of users in North America and in Europe, but they're spread across all over the globe. They have a very good support. If you just Google Moodle, there are tons of forums, books, or user groups. Moodle, in fact, itself has a very good, strong community of developers. If you have any question, if you just post it on any of the forums, within 24 hours, you can expect multiple replies or suggestions. So that's a big advantage. Coming to SAIS, the implementation where we made for a project. SAIS stands for Services Accountability and Improvement System. It's a web application which is used for performance management that captures a lot of client data which is gathered for the substance abuse treatment services. Now this data is gathered by over 600 grantees who go to these clients, collect this data at various stages and then input it into the SAIS system either on a daily, weekly or a monthly basis. Now this data in turn is used by the SAMHSA employees or grantees too, or the grantees who entered the data for monitoring their progress or to get performance reports. This is a screenshot of the SAIS website. The last menu item over there is a GIPRA training. This will link to the Learning Management Center. So the SAIS application is used to track SAMHSA's grantee progress. The client interview includes a lot of data which is collected at various stages, including the initial intake interview, or the follow-up interviews which are done at 3, 6 or 12 month periods, or finally at the end during a discharge interview. The type of data or information that is collected is the type of services that were provided to these clients, or what was the outcome of these substance abuse treatments or preventions, and other factors like the HIV testing. How is the employment status? How is the housing done? Housing status? And drug usage. That's a big one. Now, this data is collected by the grantees to fulfill a GIPRA Act where the federal government mandates that every federal agency should plan and devise what they're going to do for the next 3 to 5 years. And based on these projections, they have to make targets that they're going to achieve each year. And then they have to report their progress to the federal government of their target achievements. Have they met their targets? Have they fulfilled it? Or they are falling behind? If they have fallen behind? And the reasons if they have fallen behind. Why have they fallen behind? So SOLC is the online learning center for the SAIS application, which provides a list of various training resources. The training resources are divided into three main categories or course categories, as you can see. The first one and the most popular is the on-demand course. As the name suggests, these courses are available on demand. You can have access to these courses anytime or multiple times. At the person's convenience. The second category is a live webinar. If someone is not physically present over here and they are viewing this presentation, that's a live webinar for them. And the last category is a face-to-face course. These are the courses where the physical presence of the person is required at a particular site or location. But the initial groundwork is done through the learning center, where they have to enroll into this course. Their hotel booking is done through this center, learning center. In addition to this, you can have custom validations or checks added to this, like we had for our particular project, where we made sure that can a grantee enroll into this course that was dependent on which grants they were associated with. We had a maximum number of participants who could enroll. After that, enrollment was stopped. Or geographical checks. If the grantee was located somewhere in the East Coast, we did not allow them to register in a course which was on the West Coast. So these kind of checks can be added. This logic can be added. Of course, this needs a little bit of programming over here. So SAIS is the online learning center for the SAIS website, which helps the grantees in collecting the data, entering it into the system, and then using it to report the progress. Here's the system design of the two applications, the SAIS and the learning center. The user can log in through the main website, or they can also log in directly through the learning center. Of course, there is an authentication to make sure that the user does have access or privilege to log into the course. This is a screenshot of the main learning center. The user can prefer to log in directly through the Moodle website. Once they have logged in successfully, they can browse through a list of all the courses that are available. They can select the course that they want to enroll into. And once they have enrolled into a course successfully, I mean, provided they have access or the permission to enroll into that particular course, they can view the course details, they can start viewing the course, or they can also perform other activities which are shown down here. This is an example of one of the courses. This is a flash file which has audio as well as video. The user can pause the course, they can forward it or rewind or even replay the courses as many times as they want. Every course also includes a text-only version. Now, this is to satisfy the 508 requirement where people with disabilities will need to have access to the content, which they may not be able to see in the audio-video files. So these text-only files can be read out using a web reader if people have problems with eyesight or they have color blindness. Once they have completed the course, there is a mandatory quiz they have to take. This is similar to an examination where they have to get X number of right answers to be eligible for a passing score. In this case, we have not limited the number of attempts they can make for this quiz. So they can take the quiz as many times as they want, as long as they get the minimum pass requirements. And these can definitely be changed to as many number of attempts you want to do. It could be just one attempt or multiple attempts. The questions can be random or it could be same. It all depends on how we configure it. We also included a optional satisfaction survey once they have taken the course and taken the quiz. this is just to get some kind of feedback on the learning process. I mean, was the course useful, or did they get the right information, or were they looking for something else? So once all the prerequisites are completed, they have taken the course, they have passed the quiz, got the minimum pass percentage, they get a certificate of completion. This indicates that yes, the grantee has taken the course successfully and they have passed it. So to conclude, a learning management system can be customized to suit any needs. If a project has some kind of a training need, there's always on-demand access, which can be accessed by the users anytime. There's the ability to track the information. The course creators or the admins can track the performance of the users. How many of them have enrolled? How many of them have got the minimum pass percentage? How many of them have failed? Which course is more popular? So these statistics can be monitored using either the Moodle or also additional plugins. And of course, one of the main reasons for using a learning management system is it overcomes barriers, especially the geographical barriers. Someone could be sitting in Europe or Asia and watching this conference over here without being physically present over here. That's the beauty of technology. Thanks to my co-authors here, there's a big list. Any questions?
Great, thank you, Anwar. We definitely have time for questions. Questions from anybody? Bob.
I have a question for Dominic. How many registered users do you have for the system that you described?
Right now, we've got about 1,200 registered users on the system.
And there are no requirements for registration. You just have to sign up.
We have different role levels. So when you
at the minimum level.
At the minimum level, you authenticate an email address, which cuts out a lot of spam.
Yep.
And after you do that, you're into many of the services. To search the directory and get identifying information about other members, you have to be verified. You can be verified by any instructor or any program staff member in the system, or by the secretary.
Okay, and for the content, how much comes up from the ranks of users rather than being posted in a more hierarchical?
I was in that screenshot of the library. I could log in now.
Roughly.
We're getting several pieces put in every week, okay. Some sort. It's beginning to pick up. So I teach a PhD seminar on information theory, for example, mm-hmm. And with a collaboration system like this, you're going to have a lot of consumption to start with, and then you have to start growing people into posting based on their sense of it being useful to post, which is what Wikipedia did. So we're beginning to see that curve pick up.
And there's no moderation
Some things are moderated.
They are.
They can be moderated. But if you're an instructor role or a program staff role, there's no moderation. You can put anything in. If you have an authenticated account, there's some moderation. If you're verified, you can put anything in.
And have you had any trouble having to take anything down?
We took a new approach on spam. Before that approach, we were using CAPTCHA. And with CAPTCHAs, we had some problems. Not just problems, really, the inappropriate content is not coming from our community. So it's pretty much coming from outside, people hacking in. It's our, public health professionals, they don't have enough time to put up inappropriate content in the system, But we get, using something called SpamAside, it's a module at this point, and it puts a hidden field in there that they can't see, that the spam engines only will see, and it weeds out all the spam. It's been incredible, without a captcha, no captcha. By the way, I was a core developer on Malum from 2001 to 2003. So, and Malum has a plugin for Drupal, so you can actually use these two systems you just heard about together. They're both free and open source.